Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yeah.
So, I'm actually wondering why. How are you feeling about working from home right now? Like, are you enjoying it? Is it convenient? Do you feel like you're doing your best work?
My attitude is there are people that have it way worse than me. So,
absolutely,
I'm fine with it. I'm okay. Well, yeah, we're making it work.
Are you looking forward to getting back in the studio?
If it's safe, sure.
I would go back to the studio in a second. I don't know why
you won't even go to a restaurant.
I don't know why we don't have a bubble. We should have a bubble that allows us to go back to the studio.
You won't go to the movies, but you'll go to the studio.
Yeah, the studio is just you, me, Funch. That's it.
But the problem is then LZ and Keyshawn.
Hey, what about me? Yeah, like, totally forgot about me.
Well, You're working remotely.
You're working remotely. You still forgot about me.
Yeah.
Well, but right now, are we saying where you are right now, Lindsay? Are we admitting that?
I mean, what?
Forget it.
Never.
Yeah.
Confused.
We'll move on.
But why don't we have our own bubble so that I can work in the studio? I would like to go to the studio and work with Funch.
You can. You could do it tomorrow.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
Why not?
Am I not allowed to?
I don't think so, because you have to have specific authorization to work in the studio, to even enter the building. And I was told the other day by Amanda that there's quite a long list of protocols that we're going to have to follow just to be able to get into the building.
But wait,
who do I got to talk to? Iger?
But Iger's retiring. But Mace, if you were the only person in the studio, I don't understand why you couldn't. If I'm the only person in there,
why can't I?
Because they want us doing temperature checks before we leave.
I got my temperature check walking into a place today.
Temperature check when we get in there. Then we have like a checklist that we're going to have to fill out multiple times a day. There's like a whole big. There's a lot of protocols we're going to have to follow.
The station just tweeted out a picture of you wearing a Mason mask. Oh, this is awesome. You should definitely get one of these masks.
Oh, I would wear that mask. Yeah, I'll wear that someplace. I'll wear that someplace publicly.
Yes, you absolutely should.
Where people will go, what is he wearing? If they say, I don't think they're sending us to Orlando, although we've heard nothing. Mike and I have heard nothing from the Lakers. I can't imagine that we're going into the campus, going into the bubble. But if we do, there will be all eyes on us, and I will wear the Mason mask.
Yeah, although I think Kevin Harlan, Funch, didn't you hear Kevin Harlan say that TNT is not going to be?
Yeah, the Turner
bubble?
People are going to be doing it from Atlanta. That's what Kevin Harlan said last week.
Well, I'm convinced. By the way, Mace, that means I'm going to go into the studio before you do. Because we would do those games. Michael and I would do those games from the studio.
Right. But I hope we're in by then. That's July the 29th, isn't it? July the 30th?
Yeah.
I hope we're back in there by then.
I think we're here on August 1st.
Yeah, I heard August, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's about the right time. When it all cranks up, when it all gets going, when it all starts happening. By the way, we could have baseball by July the 19th. Baseball is finally closing in on a deal. By all indications, we could see a 60-plus game season.
Okay, how about this? How about this for you?
Okay.
Baseball announces that they're coming back on July 19th.
Woo woo! Yeah!
I get you tickets, socially distanced tickets, to sit behind home plate to see Dodgers Astros in their first meeting. Are you going?
Boo! Yeah. If the stakes are high enough, I'm there.
Wait a minute. Why? That's a regular season game that means nothing.
I told you yesterday that I'm willing to wear my M95 mask and go see Christopher Nolan Tenet in a theater.
Right. Yeah. So you're not as.
I've got an M95. I feel no need to go into a restaurant right now.
I'm going Saturday night. I went last Saturday night. I'm going this Saturday night.
Yeah. I just feel no need to go to a restaurant. Like I'm fine. I don't want if it's a socially distanced game, like, for example, Dodger Stadium, let's say they go 25% full. First of all, the parking situation is going to be great for the first time ever.
Yeah,
because parking at Dodger Stadium sucks. But so 25% in is a really good situation parking wise. And yeah, I would go ahead and risk that. I would wear my N95 mask, which is even more uncomfortable than regular masks. Do you have one of those N95 masks?
I do.
Those are no fun to wear, but I would wear it and go to a Dodger game.
I find those more restrictive than the regular blue masks that I have.
Way right? more restrictive. I mean, these are like what doctors and stuff wear.
Yeah.
But I will definitely do it if I can wear that mask. So there are things like, for example, if they said to me, "All right, August the 13th, the Rams are going to play the Saints in an exhibition game at the brand new SoFi Stadium. It will be the first event ever at SoFi Stadium." I would go with my M95 mask.
Yeah, so you're not as hung up as you were a week ago. You're now talking about going everywhere. You already said you said you wouldn't even consider going to the movies, and you just admitted you would go see the Christopher Nolan movie with your N95 mask on.
Where were you? I admitted that yesterday. I already said that.
Right.
I already
but
said
a week ago,
it's Christopher
a week
Nolan.
Ago,
it's a movie theater.
Back when we were doing Fast Track, I said, "Would you guys go to the movies?" You said, "Absolutely not."
I'm not going to go see crap, but this is Christopher Nolan.
Right. So that's it. It's everybody has their limits. It's just
correct.
A matter of finding where it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not as far as long as you are. I'm not going out to dinner, having parties at the house, nothing like that.
I haven't had a party yet. I think that would be kind of.
By the way, we've already decided we're not having a Christmas party this year.
Yeah, probably not the right year.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. All right. So the news is from Major League Baseball. Opening day, this is where the negotiations are right now. Opening day, somewhere between July 15th and July the 20th. Finally, full prorated salaries for players. A 16-team playoff format. 16 teams. That means 5 wild cards in each league. Universal DH, geographical schedule, which means that the American League West would play the National League West and so on. That means the Dodgers would play the Astros. Both sides agree to file no grievances. They play somewhere between 60 and 70 games. Regular season ends September the 27th. World Series ends late October. That's where we are right now. Those are kind of the expectations, the outlines for what a deal would be. And everybody seems confident now that a deal is going to get done, finally. And baseball will have the stage to itself for 2 weeks till the NBA starts. So baseball will still be the first team back, or first league back.
They got to do it. The players got to do it. This is everything that they were asking for. They said they wanted full prorated salary. They're getting that. It's not the ideal number of games. But let's say, Mace, apparently that's what's hanging this up, number of games. Let's say the owners even wanted to play 89 games, which is the players. That would take them way past October.
Way past October, absolutely. You can't play that many games. And by the way, Dr. Fauci has warned he thinks even playing into October could potentially be a mistake. And let's think about this for a second. If you look at the NBA bubble rules, if there is a positive test, and this is why the integrity of the bubble is so important. I'm going to talk a lot about the integrity of the bubble, John, because the integrity of the bubble is what protects the sanctity of these games. If you test positive for COVID-19, you're immediately out for 2 weeks. It's basically viewed like an injury. So the last thing we as Laker fans want is for LeBron James or Anthony Davis to turn up with a positive COVID test, because all of a sudden you lose one of your key components, one of your big stars, the guys who are going to win you a championship, for 14 days. That's why the integrity of the bubble is so important. You don't want to, if you're a teammate of LeBron and AD, if you are one of the Lakers, you don't want to break the sanctity of the bubble and risk getting one of those guys a positive test. Doesn't that make sense?
It does, except that I think the one thing in the 33-page document that they put out that I would take out if it was up to me, but I want to say this, saying that I would accept it. They're trying an incredibly difficult thing. And I'm sure there's reasons that all of that stuff, there's a reason you can't play doubles ping pong. Now, you could very easily make the argument that, wait a minute, we're going to play basketball and we're going to sweat on each other and be like you know, grabbing each other and fouling each other, but we can't play ping pong next to a guy. They're just trying to minimize risk.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing it. I think the anonymous tip line where you're asking players to rat out, to snitch on other players, is a risky thing. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
If I was stepping out on Lisa and you knew about it, would you tell her?
Well, that's a completely separate conversation.
No. But the reason I bring it up is, what if one of your own teammates violates the bubble? It's an anonymous tip line.
Okay.
So let's say we're both playing for the Clippers. I'm Kawhi. I'm like the best player on the team.
Okay.
I violate the bubble. You're Patrick Beverly. Do you call the tip line? It's anonymous. They'd never know it was you.
No, you need Kawhi. But here's if you are, let's say.
But wait a minute. You just said so you wouldn't rat out Kawhi.
You need Kawhi to win.
Correct. So see, the tip line is just
only going to work for the non-stars,
for like the 12th guy,
right? So if I'm like Laker X, if I'm I don't want to throw out a name. Let's throw out Montrezl Harrell. If I'm Montrezl Harrell, and I go outside the bubble, first of all, I'm being irresponsible to my teammates. The idea of not going outside the bubble is to protect your teammates.
But if you're Montrezl Harrell and I'm Marcus Morris,
right?
Am I ratting you out?
So who's making the call?
I'm Marcus Morris. I play for the Clippers.
Yes, you are.
I'm turning my own teammate in?
Yeah,
that's an incredibly difficult spot.
It's an anonymous tip line. You do not want Kawhi to get sick. You do not want Paul George to get sick. You don't want those guys to get sick. It's irresponsible to break the sanctity of the bubble. The whole thing is contingent on not breaking the sanctity of the bubble. By the way, sanctity of the bubble has become a thing now. I've said it many times.
Yeah, apparently the NBA doesn't even like to refer to it as a bubble. They like to use the word campus because you're allowed to do things like play golf. And they're going to bring, apparently, if you read that whole document, they're going to bring like DJs and comedians and movies in there and give them things to do. They're going to have their own chefs. I mean, so it's a restricted summer camp in a lot of ways. You just can't leave the campus. What they're trying to do, Mace, is incredibly difficult.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think if they pull this off, it's going to be one of the proudest accomplishments in NBA history. If they're able to get through, because there's so many things that could go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, any of these leagues, if you get through the baseball season, if you get through the NBA season, if you, God help us, get through the NFL season. I don't know how you get through the NFL season. I really don't.
Well, you weren't here last week, but hey, Funch, see if you can find the Tony Kornheiser comment that we played on Friday about football. Kornheiser made the point, Mace, that, well, here it is. This is Tony Kornheiser on Friday, and tell me if you agree with this.
So I have felt this way that I'm going to describe to you for months, and I feel it now. I don't see how they can play football, college or pro. I mean, I just don't. Social distancing has been proven to work. You avoid contact with other people. It helps you avoid the virus. Football practice and football games are contact. It's a contact sport. You have people, big people, you know, sweating all over you. Their arms are wrapped around you. Their legs are wrapped around you. They're breathing in your face. It strikes me that football, the way it is conducted, is the recipe for spreading the virus. I just don't know how you do it.
Is he right?
They're diving right into this thing. I mean, the NFL is, I've not heard any safety precautions. I'm sure they're going to do something. But I think they're going to go ahead with it. But here's the thing. Let's say it's the NBA is using a 14-day quarantine. It's a Friday before the Rams play the 49ers. And they're 1-2 in the division. They're both 3-0. Let's just throw that out there. They're both 3-0. And it's a Friday, and we find out Jared Goff has tested positive for the coronavirus and is out for 2 weeks. all of a sudden you've lost your starting quarterback going into the most important game.
Bring
of the
on
year
John
the
Wolford.
Rival. Then you're running with John Wolford. You know, I think we've got to be prepared for stuff like that in football. You could lose your quarterback or your running back or your left tackle or your rushing edge rusher. You could lose one of those guys just on a dime, and all of a sudden it'll be viewed like an injury. It'll be basically an injury, and you'll lose that guy for 14 days. I mean, if the NFL is prepared for that, we as fans need to prepare for the fact that we may not always see our best players on the field because of positive tests, especially if we go through another period where this gets, you know, there's this second wave thing that people like Fauci and epidemiologists like to talk about. I mean, if we get that second wave thing, that's going to be the heart of the NFL season, November and December. I mean, you know, I'm sure they're going to try it. And I'm sure they're going to have safety protocols, but I think we as fans have to be prepared to not necessarily see the best team on the field every week. And college, I mean, if they're going back to college as students, they should be able to go back as football players.
Right. It seems that they've made a decision. Look, as you know, we're just going to roll the dice, and as long as nobody dies, we're okay with it. Doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like? Because they know people are going to test positive for it, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no
Goodell
way to avoid it.
Said that the other night. Goodell said, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott tested positive. A number of Dallas Cowboys, number of Houston Texans have reportedly tested positive for coronavirus. So there are going to be positive tests, and those players are going to need to be quarantined. And going into a big game, you just hope your player isn't that guy.
All right, coming up next, we're going to dive into the NBA campus, the bubble. Dave McMenamin, who is expecting to go to the bubble. McMenamin, yes, is expecting to be down there. He'll join us next with his thoughts on the latest and the 33-page rules document that we've been kicking around all day. Still to come later, game of games and headlines. So we've got a lot to do this hour.
Yep, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland, what's up? It is Wednesday, and we are getting close to the bubble now. In fact, 1 week from now, players can begin to report to their training facilities as we get ready for a July the 30th restart of the NBA season. And joining us right now is a guy who intends to be part of that bubble, Dave McMenamin from ESPN. McTim, what are you doing, man?
You know, just still digesting what 113 pages means to 375 players and you know, various coaches and personnel around the league. Yeah, you know, there's a deadline. You mentioned July 30th, but by July 1st, the 22 teams out there have to play a game of musical chairs with their own franchises and determine who are the 36 people that make the cut and who are the people that are going to say, hey, you know, we'll still be checking with you on Zoom calls while you stay in Los Angeles while we're taking care of business down in Orlando.
All right, so Dave, you mentioned that they've been, over the last 24 hours, pages and pages of rules and safety protocols. What's getting the most attention when you talk to people, you talk to players, you talk to teams? I know you're, like, permanently connected to your phone. Of all the rules, like, the one Mason and I have been arguing about is, I would not have put the snitch line, the anonymous hotline. Mason thinks it's necessary. What type of reaction is that and the other rules getting?
Yeah, I've definitely gotten a couple texts about the snitch line, you know, more in a joking manner. But I think there's some serious concern beyond the joke there. Like, what are we doing here? Because there hasn't been a clear delineation in 113 pages, mind you. You'd think they'd find some space in there. What would be the punishment for someone breaking the rules inside?
Well, it does say, Dave, if they leave the bubble, they are quarantined for 4 to 10 days.
Yes. So, Mace, that's leaving the bubble. What about inside the bubble? What if people's calling and saying, hey, I heard that the Bucks are hanging out five guys in the same hotel room? I saw, you know, Nikola Jokic walking around without wearing a mask. Like, if you have a tip line, you could have all sorts of stuff going on.
Dave, would you leave the tip line in, or do you think there'll be some movement to get rid of it?
Yeah, I get rid of it. Let's treat this like an adult venture that everyone is going to be part of together. And we've already covered so many hurdles already. I just don't like it. To me, it's akin to the idea of if you were to make the players wear a mandatory tracking device, which, you know, there were some discussions about that over the course of, the couple months that it took to get to this point, and the NBA Players Association wanted no part of that. And I understand why. You're kind of restricting the civil liberties of your players. To me, this is like almost like a way to try to enforce the same thing without having the actual physical garment on the players.
But Dave, let's say bench player X, just bench player X, goes outside the bubble, mm-hmm. picks up COVID-19, comes back inside the bubble, and passes it on to LeBron or Giannis or Kawhi. I mean, to me, that player, first of all, is being irresponsible and threatening the success of his team. But secondly, you got to know, because you don't want your big stars to get sick.
Of course, no one wants anyone to get sick here. My problem with that example, Mace, is, well, I would hope people aren't pulling a Dennis Rodman down in the bubble and aren't going outside to get their rocks off. You still have the idea, there's no way to prove that it did come from bench player X. There's no way. The problem I had back with the league shutting down when it did, and all the stigma placed on Rudy Gobert for being the one that potentially passed it to the Jazz, when you know other players on the Jazz had it, well, who's to say the other players didn't give it to him? And so it's the same idea. If you know, you can't tell me that this bubble is going to be so restrictive because you're going to have Disney employees going in and out of the bubble, that we'll ever know if the contact trace came from a player who was to violate the rule, or if it came from someone who was approved to be going in and out of the bubble the way to perform their duty in terms of providing entertainment or providing meals or providing things like maid service.
Dave McMenamin is with us. Dave covers the Lakers for ESPN. Dave, there have been two Lakers who have been pretty outspoken over the past couple of days, Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard. What is their status, as far as you know, moving forward?
I spoke to Dwight Howard's agent over the weekend, and, of course, there was an initial statement provided from his agent, Charles Prisco, to CNN, where Dwight's final line in that statement was, there'll be no basketball till justice is served, until changes are made. And it led many people to read it and believe, oh, wow, Dwight's saying he's not going to go play. The Lakers even had that initial thought. That is not the case. His agent, basically walked it back and said, hey, all he wanted to do was put as much focus and light possible on the racial and social injustice going on in this country right now. He will make his decision at a later date, and really he has up until, you could say, probably June 30th. Now, they want players back, starting to take tests every other day for the coronavirus starting June 23rd, but they don't have to submit their 30-six-man manifesto to the league of who's going to be on it, their manifesto, I should say, until July 1st. So there's still more time for him to kind of sit in this and make his final decision. The LA Times reported today that Avery Bradley, it's less clear of what he plans on doing versus Dwight. I guess less clear jives with what I know, because I don't know what Avery Bradley's plan is, other than he told Malik Andrews of ESPN yesterday and Adrian Wojnarowski in very clear terms what he would like the league to do to make him feel better about playing the basketball down there. And that was basically three things. Commit to better hiring practices for black coaches and front office members. Commit to working with black vendors more often for things like the restaurants that are in your arenas, for things like the apparel companies that they have deals with. And a third thing, a major charitable contribution on behalf of the owners and the league towards, you know, the foundations that are working to fight the oppression that's going on systematically in this country. To me, I don't think any of those demands are outside the realm of what the NBA would be willing to do. And because that was Avery Bradley himself voicing those concerns, I think the league will meet those concerns. And I would guess, if I had to guess, I know I like to report usually, but if I had to guess, Avery Bradley would be a part of Orlando as well.
You know, one of the interesting things that came out of that manual, that manifesto that the league has released, is that players, one of the things they're able to do inside the bubble is to go to see other games. Does that become the official cutaway shot? In other words, when we're watching a game, are we cutting away to see the way other players who are there are reacting to what they see on the floor?
That's a great way to look at it, Mace, because I've already spoken. That's another thing I was getting some texts about. I'm saying, it's going to be like the AAU days where what are you going to do? You're going to go hang out in your hotel room or go get to see your competition? I mean, I think you probably will. It will remind you a little bit of Summer League, right? Because in the Summer League, you'll often see guys come and be sitting courtside and watching the games. The difference then, it's they are usually not playing in Summer League. You know, you'll see LeBron show up for a Lakers Summer League game, but it's not like he's going to have a game himself later that day. So I hope they feature that in the broadcast. I think as much as they can do to give viewers an experience of what this is like, how it's different, while still making viewers and fans of the league believe that the games still have the same weight and the same consequence as an NBA game you're used to seeing with 20,000 people in the stands and it counting in the record books from all time. That's the balance you got to try to strike. And, you know, that's one way I think it would be a great way to, you know, give the viewer something different that actually enhanced the experience.
Dave, last thing, we're talking to Dave McMenamin. Mason and I have been talking all day about what an extraordinary undertaking this is by the NBA. They're really trying to thread a small needle here, and good for them. I mean, I think they're trying to—they're trying something that, if they pull it off, it will be one of the great achievements in league history. Having said all that, I'm sure you're hearing from the same people I'm hearing from. Everybody says, look, tread carefully as you explain this and as you talk about it, because there's a million things that could go wrong. What's your confidence level that this is going to go off the way they're setting it up? Is it high, medium, low? What do you think?
I would say medium, because even though there are meticulous plans in the document about what happens when player X gets tested positive for the coronavirus, you know, isolating and they need to get multiple tests immediately to make sure it wasn't a false positive and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's where, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we actually find out how everybody is comfortable with doing this when there's actually reality versus a theoretical. And, until that happens, I just can't have full confidence. And, of course, there's a part of me that you just pay attention to what's happening in sports, not only in this country, but around the world. And, you know, you see Team X got together for their first day of off-season workout, and five players immediately tested positive. You know, if on a football team, maybe you could withstand five players testing positive when you don't have to play a game for 3 months.
Sure.
On a basketball team, If one of these teams has five guys test positive, let's say even before we get down to Orlando, because the testing is going to start every other day starting June 23rd, is everybody going to still go through with it and get down to Orlando?
Yeah.
One of these teams has half their roster test positive next week. Where does that put us? And so, I mean, I say I have medium degree of confidence because there have been, you know, the Bundesliga that's been able to get off of the ground, the Korean baseball, et cetera. It's not like there's no other league going through this and making it work. Also, there's no other country in the world that's affected the way that coronavirus is affecting the United States.
Yeah. All right, Dave. And by the way, you are planning to be in the bubble, right?
with a medium degree of confidence.
Okay. Everything's medium with Dave.
Well
today.
Said, Dave. Well
All
said.
Right. Hey, Dave, thanks a lot for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, cool. Coming up next for you is Headlines, then Game of Games. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Headlines time. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Here's where we start. UNLV is changing its nickname. Their mascot has been the Running Rebels, and that came complete with the statue of Beauregard, a soldier in the Confederate uniform. UNLV has already taken down a statue of Beauregard, and the change has been spurred by a change.org petition that says the mascot, originally named Beauregard after the Confederate general who fired the first shots of the Civil War, presents a public image that runs counter to our core values. John, right thing?
This is happening all over the country. I just think there is zero tolerance now for any reference to slavery, the Confederacy, anything that makes black or African-American people feel uncomfortable. So, yeah, I think that this is going to happen more and more often. And, you know, think about this, Mace. Stanford, you know, do you know what the nickname of Stanford was before they were the Cardinals?
Wasn't it the Indians?
Right. And they got rid of it because they were afraid of it being offensive. And the Redskins still have the Redskins as
yes,
their nickname.
Do. Yes, they do.
So I think you're seeing, you know, Old Miss had to get rid of Colonel Reb. Beauregard is now going away at UNLV. I have zero problem with it. I equate it to getting rid of Confederate flags at the NASCAR races. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, actually, Beauregard was wearing a Confederate uniform. So, yeah, it's absolutely the right thing. Got to do it. You got to pay attention to what's going on in the country right now. Now, let me ask you something about Ole Miss. Ole Miss, there's a push to stop referring to the school as Ole Miss because it was originally the name that slaves would call the woman of the plantation. They called her Ole Miss. Should the University of Mississippi scratch the whole Ole Miss thing?
Well, what they could do is just take it out of university-owned documents. Like, for example, do you even know this, that the people at USC hate being referred to as Southern Cal?
Trust me, I know. I worked there for 8 years. I know how pissed off they get.
But you hear people say it all the time.
Yeah, national guys say it.
But USC never says it. I think Mississippi could just eliminate it from their vocabulary. I think it would be very hard to get everybody to stop saying Ole Miss. But if they stop saying it, I have no problem with that.
Did you ever think that that's what that came from?
I didn't know. And I had never
heard that before. Yeah. By the way, here's another one. Quaker Oats getting rid of the Aunt Jemima logo. Seems totally racist to me. Mars Incorporated makes Uncle Ben Rice. They're planning to change their logo, too. So this is going on everywhere. All right. In Des Moines, Iowa, at Roosevelt High School, they are playing baseball again. And at their opener Saturday, the entire team took a knee for the national anthem. Do you think high school baseball, high school football, basketball teams will all be kneeling across the country this year?
I do, and I think it may even get people, I brought this up with you earlier in the week, it may even get sports teams to examine whether they even want to play the anthem or whether they might want to use that minute at the beginning of the game to address some of the things Avery Bradley and his coalition talked about this week. I wonder, rather than, you know, there is no reason why you have to play the anthem before a sporting event. I like it because I'm a patriotic guy and I would hate to see it go. But the more and more I read about it, you know, we don't do it before concerts. We don't do
it
before
movies.
Right,
but taking away the anthem, you're taking away a powerful platform to protest for these kids to say we are literally standing up by kneeling down for issues of racial justice.
Right, but do you know why the anthem...
It would almost be, John, it would almost be, like, spiteful. It would almost be like, oh, you're going to kneel during it? Well, we're going to stop playing it.
Do you know why the anthem was started at sporting events?
No clue.
In 1918, it was to honor fallen soldiers of World War I.
Right.
So what if you use that 90 seconds or 2 minutes to recognize people that had been, you know, that had passed away, like go back to the literal meaning of it, like recognize people from your town or your city who are no longer with us. I mean, there's just options that they have. But to answer your original question, yeah, I think everybody's going to kneel, and especially at the professional level. Some high school kids may be too nervous to do it. But professional athletes make more money than the coach.
Yeah,
so they're going to do what they want.
This is a team in Des Moines, right in the middle of the country.
Right.
All right. Juneteenth is the commemoration of the end of slavery in the United States, and it will be celebrated by Black Americans this Friday. The New York Giants have declared Juneteenth a company holiday. Should Juneteenth be a national holiday, and should it be a company holiday here at ESPN?
It's a good question. It's as we found out when Martin Luther King Day became a national holiday, it's hard to get something like this passed. People look at it, you know, they come up, what state was it that was going to have the Super Bowl and they refused to recognize it as
North
a national
Carolina.
Holiday? I thought it was Arizona.
Oh, you're right. It was Arizona. John McCain stood against it for a really long time.
Yeah, but so, you know, because people think there are too many holidays now. But it is, you know, the mood of the country has changed and the timing would appear to be right. I certainly wouldn't object to it. I think it would put you on the right side of history if you recognize Juneteenth. So if ESPN did it, I would welcome it. But I think if you and I demanded to take it off, we probably wouldn't get anywhere.
Right. But I think it's interesting that the Giants have declared it a company holiday. And you know what? If there was ever a moment to get this done, it would be right now.
Well, isn't that Avery Bradley and the coalition's point that
absolutely.
if you want to institute changes, the moment has never been better than now?
Yep, leverage right now. All right, on Monday, ESPN analyst Kendrick Perkins tweeted that LeBron James is the most athletic player in NBA history. Bill Russell took to Twitter saying this, "In 56, I could have made the Olympics in high jump, but turned it down to play basketball. Instead, we could only play one sport then. Track and Field News ranked me number 7 high jumper in the world. I was ranked number 2 in the U.S. at the time." Is Bill Russell underrated as an athlete, and who is the most athletic player in NBA history?
Yes, and I think it could be LeBron. Bill Russell was believably athletic. For a big man, he ran the floor. I loved him, by the way, engaging in social media when he's in his 80s.
Me and too. I loved that he sent the tweet.
And I loved that Kendrick Perkins immediately stood down. Like said, he's the OG. He put me in my place. I bow to Bill Russell. But as Michael Thompson points out, Mace, there's never been a person with LeBron's skill set in the history of sports. He's 6'9". 260 pounds, and he has no body fat. I think LeBron could have probably played tight end or wide receiver in the NFL. He may go down as the greatest basketball player ever. Can you imagine him as an outfielder? He's so fast, he could run down. Or as a soccer player, would you be able to stop him with his speed? He's the greatest transition player in NBA history. So I think that Perkins' initial statement wasn't wrong, but I loved Bill Russell coming after him, and I loved the way Perk reacted to it.
I love 80-year-old guy clapping back on Twitter.
Yeah,
that
too.
Is awesome. And by the way, have you looked at the pictures of Bill Russell, the one he tweeted out of him high jumping?
Did you notice something about it?
He's jumping forwards. He's not jumping backwards. He's not doing the Fosbury flop. He's actually jumping forwards.
Because Bill Russell went to college in the early 60s, and Dick Fosbury didn't invent the flop till the late 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing that I noticed was one shoe. He took a shoe off because he didn't want to have extra weight, so he jumped off.
You know who
of
that reminds
right
me
foot.
Of? That who? Reminds me of me when I took my shoes off and I tried to jump over that high bar.
Whoops.
Shattered my foot. all right, there you have it. There are your headlines. Coming up next for you is Game of Games. I've got the game today. So far, Game of Games for the month of June. I've got one, and Ireland's got one. Lindsay scoreless and Funch scoreless. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. It's 710 ESPN. What is going on every day? 5:45, we do this. It is Game of Games. And we keep track of how many games each of us wins in a month. Right now, I've won one. Ireland has won one. Lindsay has yet to win. And Funch has yet to win. But you guys are all on the board for this game, Lindsay, Funch, and John. The game is called The Dons Have It. The Dons Have It. Every one of these questions centers on the name Don or Donald, and it is formatted out as fact or fiction. So here we go. It is John... It is Lindsay, and it is Funch. Number one, Donald Duck comics were originally banned in Finland because Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants. John, is that fact or fiction?
That's fact.
Fact, Lindsay?
I'm going to go fact.
Fact, Funch.
Fact.
Fact, it is absolutely true. They do allow Donald Duck these days. Number two, Donkey Kong is the best-selling video game of all time. Is that fact or is that fiction, Lindsay?
Oh, I know that we had this in a question. I'm going to say it's fiction. Fiction.
Lindsay says fiction. Funch.
Fiction.
Fiction. John.
I don't think that could be true. I'm going fiction.
Fiction it is. The all-time leading video game is Tetris, 170 million copies. All right, number three.
So everybody's two for two?
Everybody's two for two. Number three, in the 70s, the Donnie and Marie variety show always started with an ice skating performance and finished with a balloon drop. Is that fact or is that fiction, Funch?
I'll say fiction.
Fiction. John.
It's too weird for you to have made up. I'm going fact.
Fact. Lindsay.
I'm going to go fact, too.
It is a fact, yeah. Every show started with an ice skating performance and finished with a balloon drop. All right. Don Henley has been nominated for more Grammy Awards as a solo act than he did with the Eagles. Is that fact or fiction? John, this is your band. What do you think? So Don Henley solo, more Grammy Award nominations as a solo act than he got with the Eagles.
I'm going to say fact.
You're going to say fact. Lindsay?
I'll say fact, too, then.
Fact. Funch?
Fact.
It is a fact. 18 nominations solo, 14 with the Eagles. Wow, you guys are doing really well. All right. It is John 4, Lindsay 4, Funch 3. Number 5, Donald Trump is married to Melania. Her maiden name is Zelnikova. Zelnikova. Let's see. We start with Lindsay on this one.
I think that's a fact.
Fact. Funch.
Fiction.
John says, or Funch says fiction. John.
Uh-oh, did we lose him?
No, we lost him. I'm like, I think he's thinking really hard.
I was going to say, is he really stumped right now?
We really got him with this. You know what? He gets a handicap. We're going to go on. John will not get a point there. The correct answer is her last name is Knaus, K-N-A-U-S-S. Ivana's last name was Zelnikova. All right, number six, the San Francisco Dons got their nickname from the university founder, Don Lavelle. Is that fact or is that fiction, Funch?
Fiction.
John Funch says fiction. John, no answer. Lindsay.
Oh, this is John. It was fact.
John says fact, okay.
John says fact, so I'm going to go fiction.
The correct answer is fiction. It was the swashbuckling Spanish Dons. It is John 4, Lindsay 5, Funch 5. This is the tiebreaker. And by the way, it's possible that you tie and both get a point.
Oh, okay.
Number 7, Paramount Pictures' first choice to play Don Corleone in Godfather 1 was Laurence Olivier. Is that fact or is that fiction? Let's start with John. No answer. Lindsay.
I'm going to go with fiction.
Lindsay says fiction. Funch.
Fact.
Fact. Funch gets the point. Yes, Laurence Olivier was the first choice to play Don Corleone. And Funch is on the board for the first time in June. It is now me 1, John 1, and Funch 1.
Oh, Lindsay, I got screwed.
Yet to score. You didn't have answers on those other ones. So
it's so frustrating because I can hear you guys perfectly fine. Like, I never drop out on my end. You just can't hear me.
Yeah, it's so a shame. Because
like I knew that Melania Trump thing was false.
Yep. All right, did you know the San Francisco Dons got their nickname from university founder Don Lavelle?
False.
That's false. And Paramount Pictures' first choice to play Don Corleone was Laurence Olivier?
True.
That's true. You would have gotten them all, but it's a shame.
He still heard you, though. It's not like he didn't hear you, so he knew what the answers were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Funch.
I'll give it a Funch, though.
Funch takes the point. We're in a heated battle now in Game of Games. All right, coming up next for you. Alan Sliwa will join us. It is officially Funch.
Sliwa at sunset. Crosstalk is next.
710 ESPN. All right, it's time, people. The sun is setting across Los Angeles, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for Sliwa at sunset. Do we have Alan?
Right here, Mace. Just pouring the gin.
You're drinking gin tonight?
Yeah, tonight's gin. Yeah,
that's, paint the rest of the scene.
Every Wednesday, I throw the robe on.
Good. Good.
That's all I got. That's all,
that's all
gin
you got.
And a robe.
Robe and a gin.
Excellent. Not a good picture.
So what's up, Sliwa?
Not much, guys. What's going on?
All is good. It's been a hell of a show. One of the record breakers, I think. This might be, John, where do you rank it in terms of the greatest shows of all time?
1703rd.
1703. That's pretty good, given that we've been doing this for 26 years.
Yeah, we've done like 30,000 shows. Yeah.
We have.
Sliwa, have you read the 33-page rules about the NBA campus?
Not every detail, and I know you guys were hitting on a few of them, but there's a lot of things on there. 113 pages, isn't it?
It's 113. You've not read the 113 pages?
113 pages?
You've not.
I think that's all of. I think that's all of the documents combined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just read the 33-page bubble health protocols.
Alan, you're such a thorough guy. I would have thought you would have read the entire document.
Maybe I was depending too much on Shams' tweets and Woj's tweets and just no.
All right, well,
seeing
Sliwa,
their bullet points there.
Settle an argument. I think the anonymous snitch line is a bad idea.
Snitch line? It's a bad idea.
Okay, the anonymous tip line is a bad idea. By the way, everyone, including McMenamin, has referred to it as the snitch line, but I'll call it an anonymous tip line is a bad idea. I think it puts players in a position that they have to rat out other players, and nobody likes a rat. Mason thinks you need it to protect the integrity of the bubble,
which
Mason said about 75 times today. Alan, if we left it up to you, the anonymous tip line, does it stay or does it go?
What's crazy is the entire, you know, all the different rules that are out there, that the anonymous tip line is the one getting the most love and the most attention. John, I'm with you. Not a fan of the line.
By the way, interestingly, I put this out as a poll today in the NBA, bubble. Do you support and I use the term snitch line to maintain the integrity of the bubble and keep other players safe. What do you think that breaks out at? Percentage wise?
I'll say 70% not fans of it.
53% say yes. 53% say yes. I just, you know, at this point, you have come so far as a league. You've come so far through this unbelievably difficult time. You have created this crazy set of protocols that everybody needs to follow to keep everybody else safe. You're not... By breaking the rules, you're actually hurting your teammates.
But you're actually hurting your team. You've already admitted if it was Kawhi and he was on your team, you wouldn't turn him in. But if it was a lesser player, you would turn him in.
Correct. I think you got to keep the stars safe.
That is ridiculous. So it's not health you're concerned about. It's your odds of winning.
The slogan of the bubble should be, keep the stars safe. Like, we can afford to lose. Let's face it. We can afford to lose.
Your inconsistency is staggering.
We can afford to lose Quinn Cook. We can't afford to lose LeBron.
Do not degrade Quinn Cook. We might need him, especially if Avery Bradley doesn't go. Come on.
Mace, I just don't think people will actually follow it. Like, I can't see players kicking back and saying, okay, well, I just saw this player from the Utah Jazz. He was 4.5 feet away from another player from the Jazz. Yep, I'm calling in.
No, but that's not what the anonymous tip line is for. The anonymous tip line is for people who actually leave the bubble. In other words,
that's not true. It's for anybody who violates the health protocol. If you see five guys in the same room, you could call the tip line.
Yeah, I would say the tip line, the appropriate use for the tip line would be So bench guy
I would
went
pay,
to a bar and now risk getting everybody else sick.
By the way, how dumb would a bench guy have to be to go to a bar when everybody has a phone in their pocket? You know,
not a
if
good
you're
idea.
Some if you're like the 11th guy and you're eight, you know, you're 7 feet tall and you're loitering at TGI Fridays in Orlando, how dumb are you? I mean, you'd be blown up immediately. Hey, let me change gears on you guys. Ryan Kartjee. And Ryan, I am so sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, which I probably am, is the USC beat writer for the LA Times.
Yep.
So he was just talking about, you know, Mace, we were saying earlier that USC and every other college is like full speed ahead with college football. They're just going. So Ryan writes, or he just tweeted this, all fans will be required to wear masks at all times while in the Coliseum. Tailgating, Trojan Walk, the Band Walk, and Fan Fest will be either significantly limited or removed. But here's the tweet that has me wondering. No word yet on how USC will handle bathrooms or concessions or elevators or really any other element of the game day experience that poses significant logistical concerns. Mace, how do you do that? How if you're at a USC game and I'm in Section 7 and you're in Section 6 and we get up at exactly the same time to go to the bathroom and 20 other people do it, is there going to be like a social distancing monitor at the bathroom? The line will be a mile long.
See, I don't think they've thought this through. I mean, they are... I'll be honest. I mean, I'm surprised that schools are full steam ahead with fans. In other words, that's not just 25% of the Coliseum full. That's the Coliseum full. They are planning to proceed with fans at the Coliseum as long as everybody wears a mask and no limit on the capacity. I find that to be just shocking, to be honest with
you. Oh, so think about this. The NBA is saying you can't play two-on-two ping pong because it's an unnecessary risk. You can play one-on-one because you're socially distanced, but you can't play teams. You can't play two-on-two. And USC has no plan as to what they're going to do with the concession stands or the bathroom. And think about, guys, think about how long the line is at bathrooms at sporting events anyway. If you only allow one or two people in the bathroom at a time at the Coliseum, how long is it going to take to go to the bathroom?
You're going to miss the whole game. You know, but John, it's the same thing right now. If you go to a grocery store, I mean, it's impossible to be socially distancing. It is. I mean, you're going down an aisle. Somebody's going the opposite way. You're crossing paths with that person. Go to Costco. Costco, they're trying best as they can to say, okay, socially distance, all that. There's so many people in a Costco at the same time. I don't care what aisle you're going down. If you're going down the produce or if you're over by the meat section, Mace, it's impossible. You know, they could try every protocol they can, and I know sports is going to be even tougher. I mean, hell, aren't they having a rally in Oklahoma this weekend? How are they going to do that? So I think there's still a ton of questions that are up there. I don't know how that's going to happen at the Coliseum.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that at a football game. But if they're doing it, it must mean that the Rams are doing it, right? It must mean that the Rams are, I mean, this football is just full steam ahead. I think they're being oblivious somehow. I mean, I think it's crazy to consider putting, let's say, the Trojans. What are the Trojans drawing these days? 50,000? 50,000 fans in the Coliseum and not expect there to be community spread.
Well, when are we, and I don't know the answer to this, I'm asking. When are we going to find out if all of the protests with hundreds of thousands of people walking basically arm in arm is going to result in a coronavirus?
Yeah, 14
spike?
Days. 14 days.
So that'd be about now, right?
Yeah. I'm sure you'd start getting results
since the rally?
Now.
Yeah. I mean, any day now.
Got to
right?
be pretty close. It's been a week or two since the height of the protests. So if there's not a spike, and God willing there won't be, that's a good sign. For
very
fans
good
to go back
yeah.
into stadiums. But if there is, they've got to completely readjust, don't they?
Well, and the big thing is, you know, outdoors versus indoors. That's another thing that people are talking about is, you know, if you are indoors where it's cool, there's more likely to be viral spread. If you're outside, It's less likely to do so. And by the way, they're also finding out that just the act of wearing a mask is making a huge difference, is preventing the spread of the virus. That's why I don't understand the people who are just choosing not to wear a mask.
Yeah, I don't understand that one either. John, did you say last week, was it Kornheiser you played? It was a clip, I think, of Kornheiser.
Yeah, we played it again today.
About football, right? Like, how are they possibly going to play? One thing I don't understand is baseball has a ton of pressure to not even finish through October, wasn't it? I think Dr. Fauci yesterday was saying with Bill Shaken in the LA Times to try and get it done before October even starts. And then here we are with NFL and college football. What's the difference there? Like, I'm getting lost, I think, in my own head of trying to figure out how football thinks they're going to go.
Well, think
December,
about this.
But
think about this, guys. Football has not been successfully executed yet. Baseball has already, you know, the people in South Korea have shown us how to do baseball. They've shown us how to do soccer. The English Premier League started up again today. So they've figured out soccer. They figured out baseball. We're the test case for football.
Football isn't really popular
around the world outside of the United States.
Think about this. We've got three leagues all going to do this a different way. We've got the NBA, which I think is the best plan. The NBA has got the best plan.
It's the one with the most precaution.
Baseball, we don't know if there will be fans yet allowed at stadiums, but everything I've heard is no fans in stadiums. That's everything that I've heard, is that there won't be fans. Football, full steam ahead, travel, fans, I assume testing, but again, I don't know what the protocols are with the NFL. The NFL seems to be just going full steam ahead. USC going full steam ahead. Yep, fans at the Coliseum. I think that seems really, really irrational.
During Mace, which is what's supposed to be the worst time, right? When I say worst time, as in just from a timing perspective, they say, okay, well, that second wave could be coming in the fall and in the winter. That's why I think there's this. Basketball's final game, if you go seven games, I think is October 12th.
Right.
And if baseball finds a way to finish, I know they're going to go through October, but that's the best that they could do just based on the circumstances.
October, by the end of October.
By the end of October. Yeah, that's the question mark. But I guess, you know, football is going to continue to plan. Okay, this is how we're going to do it until they're forced to not plan that way. But starting to even put people in stadiums, that's a new one. I hadn't even thought that was an option.
You know, what's interesting is this is also in the Ryan Karchi stuff, that season tickets are for sale right now for USC football. And a full package will be assumed to be four games. So as long as you get four games in at home, it will count as a season ticket package. So that means maybe you play New Mexico, Arizona State, Cal, and Colorado, and then by the time you get to the middle of November, Washington and Notre Dame, it's not safe to play and it's not safe to go to games. It will still count as a full season ticket package.
All right, and let's think about this. Let's say the spike in the coronavirus does come back. So USC and Alabama are set to play at Cowboys Stadium in the first week of September.
Yeah.
If you do pivot to no fans, which is what everyone's doing right now, there's no fans at these soccer games, there's no fans at these baseball games, and at least to start, there'll be no fans on campus in Orlando and no fans when Major League Baseball starts up. Why send both teams on the road? Why not just pick a school and do it there? In other words, why do you have, if you're not going to have fans, why make Alabama get on a plane and USC get on a plane? Just flip a coin, and whoever wins, that's where you play the game. Then you only have one team traveling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you are cutting down on the risk.
It seems like the NBA has cut down as much risk as you can.
The NBA has been I think when all of this is said and done, Adam Silver, as usual, will prove to be the smartest guy in the room.
And it seems like the NFL is leaving open a bunch of bordering on unnecessary risk. They haven't done it yet because they haven't allowed fans in yet. But, you know, they're talking about season ticket packages and moving forward with fans. And, Mace, I'm assuming you've paid for your Rams seats, right?
Yes, I have. I've paid for my Rams seats.
So I assume they're taking the, you know, if you're a USC season ticket holder, if you're a Rams season ticket holder. I wonder if you're a Dodgers season ticket holder, if you've had received any money back. I doubt it. I think they're probably all keeping the money.
And baseball has said nothing. Well, everything we've heard is no fans for baseball.
At least to start.
At least to start. And by the way, Sleawood, they are getting close now on a baseball deal.
They're not getting us too excited here, are they?
Yeah, I think it's happening.
No, it's happening. Players have to do it, Alan. If they don't, they're idiots.
Did you see Heyman's tweet about 40 minutes ago?
What'd he say?
He said early word is,
players don't love the 60 games, and some are even calling it a proposal, not the agreement owners see it as. Owners view it as an agreed-to deal, with players' option being to turn it down, whereupon they could get a 50-game mandated season as allowed by March 26 agreement.
60 is enough, guys. Think about it. If they start on July 19th, you can't play 60 days in a row. All right, you've got to give them a day off once every 2 weeks at least, especially if you're going to play some doubleheaders to make all the travel work. So 60 games is all you can fit and still get your World Series done in October. Just take it.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, quit messing around.
And that's, by the way, if you take it, how many days is it going to be? I think 71 days total. If you go July 19th to September 27th, they said it's 71 days total. You have some days off in between. I mean, I love the just, you can say, from a playoff format. I know, Mace, you're not crazy about the playoff format, 16 teams getting in.
It's a lot of teams, man.
By the way, Mace, what they're proposing as part of this proposal is not only would it be 16 teams in 2020, it would be 16 teams in 21 also. So it wouldn't be a one-year thing. It would be a two-year thing.
I think that's part of making up some of that money.
Right. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Mace, is a lot of wild cards, man.
I know that's not ideal, and I know especially for, you know, the Dodgers, even a 60-game season, that the sample size is much smaller, and you wish it wasn't the circumstances. But I think the 16 teams going into the postseason, if it does anything, you just got more baseball. You got more teams and cities that can get excited about having a chance. So if there's ever a time to do it, and John, I know you said next year as well, maybe they – it's not something I think would be permanent, but the next 2 years they do it, they raise some awareness in baseball. I think if there's ever a time to do it, you take that risk now.
So it's a best of three wild card series. I just found this.
Okay, what's the rest of them?
The rest of them are seven.
Okay.
So it's best of three in the first round. So you've got four first round series in each league.
Okay.
And those are all best of three. Now, I'm thinking about this from the Dodger perspective because I'm a Dodger fan.
So that means, Mace, that means that that's only involving 9 through 16 if you only have 4. That means 1 through 8 automatically go into the 7-game round, correct?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. So if you finish with the best record, you don't have to play a best of 3.
Right. And, Trevor Bauer, I think it was, who said it's not necessarily an advantage to be the one seed because it helps to get ahead of steam coming out of those wild card playoff rounds, right? How many wild cards have we seen win the World Series now? So, yeah, from a Dodger perspective, if you don't get the number one seed, do you really want your whole season to come down to winning 2 out of 3?
Well, to address Trevor Bauer's issue, you could, if you finish with the best record, give that team a choice. Do you want to play in the best 2 of 3? I think that Trevor's wrong. I think most teams would say, no, put us in the second round. But if that's his concern, if momentum, this is the old rest versus rust argument. If momentum is his issue and they finish with the best record, just say to him, okay, you want to go in the 2 out of 3? Go for it. But I bet you he'll turn it down.
With 8 teams, I don't think you do have a best out of – I don't think you do have a bye team.
Well, that's what you said, four best of 3 series, right?
Right, and 8 teams.
So that would be – right. So the other 8 go in. 1 through 8 go to the second round, 9 through 16.
No, I'm talking about in each league. So in other words, 8 teams in each league. The Dodgers would be one of 8 teams. That would be 4 3-game series.
Oh, okay, so everybody plays a 2 out of 3.
Everybody plays a 2 out of 3. Mm. Do you really want your season to come down to best 2 out of 3?
Well,
to me, that's not what baseball's about.
But in, you know, before like 2000, the first round series was best 3 out of 5. You know, the old National League and American League championship series were 3 out of 5, and then the World Series was 4 out of 7.
But so huge difference between best of 3 and best of 5.
Mace, well, you're saying the risk,
you can
right?
Get bounced on best of 3.
I mean, right. they're going to have the best. Look, Bueller and Kershaw just compared to any two in Major League Baseball.
Well, and Price. They'd have Buehler, Kershaw, Price would be your three.
But then what Mace, you're saying is you're going to use those three pitchers hypothetically just to get to the next round.
Yeah, draw the Nationals in the first round as a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
Then all you'd of a sudden, you're facing Scherzer. Strasburg and Scherzer. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can draw anybody, and there are some other big twos out there, big threes out there. All right, more Sliwa at Sunset's coming up next. We will find out what he's got on the show. Are you ready for that, Sliwa?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay. It is Sliwa at Sunset. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross Trade Power Pro Service specials. Great Cross Trade service for our 710 listeners. As always, a special during Crosstalk, a $99 drain cleaning. You could go to powerproplumbing.com for more information.
Lindsay Theory tweets, Rams staff have been encouraged to support black businesses in Inglewood and across L.A. in recognition of Juneteenth, and the Rams have committed to reimbursing food, beverage, and book prices made by their staff at these businesses.
We should do that. We should order, like, is June, is the 19th, what's today, Tuesday, 19th?
Yeah, it's Friday.
Thursday?
Friday is Juneteenth.
Yeah, we should all order food from, a place in Inglewood. Oh, you don't, yeah. Mason, are you doing that? Are you ordering out? I am. I'll do it.
Oh, yeah, no, we're ordering out.
Okay.
As long as you drop it off on the porch and we don't have to see it.
John, did you go to a restaurant yet?
Yeah, I went last Saturday. I'm going this Saturday.
All right, what'd you think?
Loved it. Matter of fact, it was packed. We ate outside. That's the only prerequisite my wife has, is we have to go to some place where you can eat outside.
Mm-hmm.
But all the
and
servers
it was packed.
Packed. Lying to get in. All the servers were in masks. All the cooks were wearing masks and gloves.
What about the people going to dinner?
No, because they had to eat.
And it was packed.
Mace, that's my one takeaway. I actually went, and I was surprised. I went, I had a cousin in town on Saturday, said, let's go get some food. So go to a restaurant in Pasadena. The only thing that I would say is, you know, the restaurant is doing everything it can. The servers, waiters, waitresses, they were great, wearing gloves. They got a mask on. They even have that kind of that clear shield. They're doing everything they can. But it's everybody else. I mean, I can't tell you how many people reckless probably isn't the right word, but you can only do so much, and there's other people that are fed up with it, or maybe they don't believe in wearing masks, so you get a lot of that as well.
Yeah.
All right, so here's a developing story. Anthony Lynn, the coach of the Chargers, who is a great guy. Mace, we had him on the show, not last week, but one of the weeks that you're on vacation.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's just – it's impossible not to root for Anthony Lynn. He's just a really good dude. He said today that the Chargers – probably will try out Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, we actually have that, John. Why don't you go ahead and hit that, Funch?
That's a good sign. I mean, if he starts to go in and try out, I think other teams then will have the political cover to bring him in. You know what I
mean?
But
I think this tryout is just BS.
Why?
Because they've got Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert. What are they going to do?
Well, if they carry three
quarterbacks. He's going to be a third quarterback. No, people don't carry third quarterbacks anymore.
But maybe it's just for that, like you said, John. At least maybe that opens the door for other teams to say, let's bring them in for a tryout then.
And the team, Alan, that makes sense for that is the Rams.
Yep.
Behind Jared Goff, they have John Wolford and rookie free agents Josh Love and Bryce Perkins. None of the three of those guys, Wolford, Love, or Perkins, have any NFL experience. So, I mean, Mace, you're a Rams fan, wouldn't you? I mean, looking at it strictly from a football perspective, take all the politics and Black Lives Matters out of it.
Right.
If Jared Goff goes down, wouldn't you rather see Kaepernick go in the game than Wolford, Love, or Perkins?
Well, that scares the hell out of me. I mean, let's say, you know, Jared Goff has been unbelievably durable, right? Hasn't been injured yet in his career. Has made every single start he's been asked to make. That doesn't mean it's going to continue that way. Let's say he gets injured, or let's say it's mid-November, you got a game against the Niners, and he tests positive for coronavirus. Mm-hmm. You're going to run with John Wolford for like one of the big games of the year. You need an experienced quarterback. Now more than ever, you need an experienced quarterback. And whether that's Colin Kaepernick, who's got years of experience and was one play away from winning the Super Bowl, or it's Cam Newton, who went to the Super Bowl, took a team to the Super Bowl. You need a backup quarterback. I would welcome either Colin Kaepernick or Cam Newton.
I wonder, too, you mentioned there, Mace, you know, you guys talked a little bit about this yesterday. look, it sounds like based on some of the players from the Cowboys, Houston, Texans, we know that, okay, you can easily test. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but it could be a reoccurrence as somebody tests positive for COVID-19. So if you're out for 14 days, that's different in the NFL. You could miss two NFL games right there. You know, you could miss X percentage of the season. So maybe Kaepernick might get another opportunity if he wants to, simply also because this season is going to be like no other. If you're trying to complete a full entire season, you might need more than two quarterbacks. And there's certainly quarterbacks, or there's certainly teams in the NFL right now that maybe their backup quarterback isn't as good as.
Yeah, you might keep a third quarterback rostered, but not active.
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility. So, in other words, you lose your one guy. You've got a guy rostered, even though you're only allowed to keep two. I think you're only allowed to keep two active quarterbacks for a game. And then you can have a third on the roster. So maybe that's what Anthony Lynn's thinking. Maybe they keep him rostered so that in the event they lose Tyrod Taylor to injury, they've got another guy to step in.
He's been vocal, too, since the beginning. I think LZ interviewed him maybe 3 weeks ago or so,
yeah,
and he talked about – so he's been one of the more vocal coaches about Kaepernick.
I just think the thing about Kaepernick is, does he want to play or is his impact greater as a martyr? In other words
– well, another way of putting that, why would he play? They need him more than he needs them now.
Right. But he's become a symbol. Right, he's become a symbol over and above football. I mean, he's discussed on cable news. He's discussed all the time, and everybody knows what he knelt for. They know the reason he was kneeling during the national anthem. If he becomes a backup quarterback holding a clipboard, is any of that social sway? Is any of that does it go away?
Mace, the only thing I could think of is he did try out, right? That practice that he had.
That weird thing he did in Atlanta,
yep.
Yeah.
Maybe that would just give you some indication that, you know what, that's a passion of his. He still wants to give it a shot while he's still at an age where he can do it. I mean, he's 32 years old, and I know 4 years away from the league, but there's also a lot of NFL quarterbacks, starting NFL quarterbacks that are older than 32.
Well, part of this, too, is you want him to go to a team, and maybe, Mace, this goes back to your idea of that the Chargers are not a great fit. It would be better for the team, not necessarily for Colin, but for the team, if he went to a place where there is an established starter. For example, I keep saying Kansas City, mm-hmm. because I think Patrick Mahomes is, you know, he's for sure going to be your starter. Or if he went to a place like Green Bay where Aaron Rodgers is entrenched. The problem with the Rams is Jared Goff's good. He's not great.
Yeah, but he's entrenched. He's the starter.
Right. Well, especially what you're paying him. But the Chargers, he might automatically become their best option to start, especially if you want to give Justin Herbert a redshirt year. So then it becomes a little more complicated if you're trying to manage the locker room. You know, if he every day is the – okay, so if he went to Kansas City, even if he had 3 or 4 days in a row where he played better than Mahomes at practice, it wouldn't matter. Mahomes is still starting the game. If he did that in San Diego, wouldn't you be pressured to start Colin at quarterback?
I love it. You said San Diego. But you're right. Yeah, up here in Los Angeles. Right.
They'll always be the San Diego Chargers.
You know, and Alan, I always do that. I've done it for – you know, because Mason and I started in San Diego, and to me – in my own head, I should get past it, but I never have.
Watch the NFL Network. Every highlight they do on NFL Network, one of those guys are saying the San Diego Chargers.
That would be me.
Yep. All right, Sleewo, what do you got coming up?
All right, Kirk Morrison will co-host tonight. So Kirk and I will do the show together, and then Bill Shaken coming up at 7 o'clock from the LA Times.
Ask Morrison about that quarterback thing, that if it makes a difference if they have an established number one. I'd be curious what he says about that.
Morrison's in the can. The whole thing. No, I'm kidding. Oh. I'm kidding.
The whole thing's in the can. Excellent. All right, cool. See you tomorrow, 2:55 sharp. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.